in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Wednesday, right here on the Horn, B&E. Neither rainy commute this morning, so be advised as that cool front moves through, going to drop temperatures. Already down to about 66 degrees here in the Westlake Hills on the banks of 360. To be topping out, this might be as warm as it gets today. Top temperature, high temperature of 67 in the ATX. Probably already reached that over, or much above that overnight. Got in the car, Buck, it was still 77, 78 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
But dropping through the day, drop into the mid-50s overnight, and beautiful tomorrow, 75, partly cloudy. So at least a little bit of a fall hit here in mid-October on B&E. Paying off your B&E fact of the day, we mentioned, and we'll get you the details and the headlines with the Washington Nationals into the World Series, sweeping the Cardinals. Fourth team in the history of baseball to reach the Fall Classic after at one point during the season being at least 12 games below 500. Nationals were, it's been much discussed and documented, 19-31 and really left for dead, you know, deep into the season or early part of the season.
Washington Nationals, baby!
Yeah, they rally and they're in. The only team that's ever won the World Championship after being that far under 500 at one point, the Braves of 1914.
Oh, boy.
I don't even know if they were in Atlanta at the time.
That is back probably in Monty's day.
Probably Milwaukee. That would have been the Milwaukee Braves, right? Or maybe have been a different Braves. But, yeah, the Braves of 1914 did it, and that's where the Nationals are. Some rarefied air for them. And give the Mike Rizzo and their front office credit. You know what's kind of cool? If the Astros were to play the Nationals in the World Series, which the Astros still have two games to win, but they did win yesterday. If you go to West Palm Beach spring training where I was last year and last spring, they share that complex, the Astros and Nationals.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's their minor league buddies. That's where they share that complex in beautiful West Palm Beach, and obviously very familiar with one another. Play each other a lot during the spring training side, and so that would be kind of interesting to see if it does match up with Washington and Houston. Okay, Buck. So in our coach's corner coming up, you're going to like what you're going to hear if you're a Houston Texans fan. You may not like what you hear if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. And I don't know what you'll think of this 8-year-old kid firing up his football team, which is interesting to me. We'll let you hear it. It's good audio, though. Let's start the hour with the headlines, get folks caught up on the news of their Wednesday. And by the way, Boston Braves. Boston Braves, everybody's
Boston
telling me
Braves.
On the text line. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Boston, Milwaukee, into Atlanta. Start with baseball. We just mentioned it. Half of the World Series set. Washington Nationals, the first team in. They roared out to a 7-0 lead, 7-run first inning on the St. Louis Cardinals, kind of giving them a dose of their own medicine. Cardinals, of course, did that to the in their series in the NLDS to get through, putting 10 on the board against the Braves. They get 7 runs in the first inning, route to a 7-4 win. They go on to win. It's the first World Series appearance ever for the franchise and the first for Washington, D.C. since 1933 when the Washington Senators lost to the New York Giants in 5 games in that World Series. They'll now await the winner of the ALCS. Astros took Game 2. Game 3, I should say, 2-1 advantage yesterday in the Bronx with a 4-1 win. Jose Altuve, Josh Reddick hit solo home runs early off of Luis Severino, and that was plenty for the incomparable Gerrit Cole, who was not as dominant as he's been, but still grinded through 7 solid innings, struck out 7, and proves to 3-0 this postseason for manager A.J. Hinch.
I actually think the beginning of the game, he had a hard time finding his stuff and finding his tempo, his rhythm. He was still getting through his outing, made some really big pitches, obviously had some pressure on him. And then once he found his curveball, it was pretty lights out.
Yeah, better at the end than he was at the beginning for sure. Finished strong, and then Astros get the victory. 4-1, Roberto Osuna pitched an easy ninth for the save there. In college football, Longhorns have begun their game week prep for this week's home tilt with the Kansas Jayhawks. They look to turn the page from Saturday's disappointing loss and performance at the Cotton Bowl. After practice yesterday, quarterback Sam Ehlinger said the focus and goals of this team at 4-2 still in front of them.
Yeah, just continue to get better. I think that we got to really eliminate the self-inflicted mistakes, focus on the things that we can control, and go out and play to the best of our ability with elite mindset.
Texas and Kansas, 6 o'clock on Saturday. It's the first home game for the Horns in a month. Pregame here on the Horn goes live at 1 o'clock from the Texas Tail Garden, then Bevo Boulevard, double barrel coverage all the way to the kick at 6. High school football and football in general, tough blow for Lake Travis quarterback Hudson Card. The Texas commitment has learned that a foot injury suffered in last Friday night's win over Westlake will require surgery. It's expected to sideline him for the rest of the season. NFL midweek blockbuster trade in advance of today's trade deadline. Jacksonville Jaguars are sending all-pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the L.A. Rams for couple of first-round draft picks, picks in 2020 and 2021. Also a fourth-rounder thrown in there in 2021. Move fills a major hole in the secondary for the Rams, who were in the Super Bowl a year ago but have lost three straight. They're 3-3. Rams have also traded their current starting cornerback, Marcus Peters, to Baltimore in exchange for linebacker Kenny Young and an undisclosed 2020 draft pick. And in Tennessee, Titans making a change at QB. Head coach Mike Vrabel announced yesterday that he's seen enough of Marcus Mariota at this point. And Ryan Tannehill, former Texas A&M quarterback, will replace him as a starter this week against the Chargers.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
As I said, tough blow for Hudson Card. And the one injury I never had in sports, I never had a turf toe. Like a jammed up toe. Where yeah. It's, can you imagine? So bad that you need surgery
and playing the whole game. Like
yuck.
Hudson Card showed some toughness in the Battle of the Lakes because he hurt that toe early in the game.
Yeah.
Played the whole game and led him to a victory, and now he needs surgery. That tells you he's a tough kid. Coming
Rags,
to
you're a tough guy. Have you ever jammed your? I mean, I've hit my toe.
I played a football game with a broken toe. Worst pain I've ever had.
Was it a big toe?
That and a toothache.
Was it a big toe?
It was a big toe. Oh, no, the middle, the index toe.
Oh.
Remember, Deion Sanders' career was pretty much ended by a toe.
Turf toe.
Yeah. We started calling him nine-toed Deion. Remember that?
The hammer toes.
Yeah. Well, obviously, especially at a corner or a quarterback, I mean, your start-stop, your quickness.
My goodness.
I mean, that's every time you plant on that foot. I mean, that's tough to play through. So Hudson Card, a lot of toughness in that victory. But
somebody says they can't get that Kenny Rod. Neither can I get the gambler out of my mind.
You got to know when to hold
him. It just won't go away now. Every time.
Know when? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Dang. That's a little Kenny Rogers. I like that when your warm-up music really gets me pumped up, which it did today. So I appreciate
love
you
the
doing
gambler.
Do it again. Earworm. You'll be singing this at the office today. You'll be getting a cup of coffee and humming the gambler. And everybody goes, why are you singing Kenny Rogers?
What's wrong with you this
Turn
morning?
Turn that up, Wax. Come on, let's get
Come
them
on,
all.
Come on,
man. Clap along.
I love that one right there.
His final words, I found an ace that I could keep.
You got to know when to hold him. Come on!
That is great traveling music right there.
Roll the windows down.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, everybody in Austin, it's raining. Open your window and sing really loud.
Dude, they're going to be mad at you because they're going to be mad. This song right here will keep you going all day.
Classic. And then it rolls right into Lady.
Oh, I love that.
Oh,
one,
yeah. Yeah. Come yeah. on, Kenny. Sing along.
So you're telling me he had some work done, huh?
Gummit? Bad plastic surgery, bro.
Bad deal.
What was that movie he had? Six Pack.
I loved that movie when I was a kid. Love that movie. Remember when he was the race car driver and hired the kids
to be his
pit crew? Yeah, I love Six Pack.
I always loved when he tried to be a cowboy, like a real cowboy.
Well, he was kind of a fake cowboy.
He was a gambler.
But, this is so weird. We're on these Kenny Rogers tangents. When I was a kid, still living in Akron, Ohio, the mean streets of Akron, I lived there from 0 to 8. And my mother worked at the Richfield Coliseum. That was like before they moved the Cavaliers downtown. That's where they played basketball out in Richfield, out in the middle of nowhere. She was the executive secretary, the boss there. So we got tickets to everything. And I remember sitting in a.
Whoa.
And I remember, I sit at the Bud Light suite at the football games. Back in the day, they used to call them loges. Remember, it was the loge?
The loges, yeah.
The
oh,
loge.
Yeah.
I got to sit in the loge as like a 6-year-old kid to watch Kenny
nice.
Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Awesome.
Because my mom told me later they couldn't give the tickets away. Like, no one was buying these tickets.
To see them?
Yeah. It was Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Wow.
And I was in the loge.
Yeah, I played Kenny this morning. I played Glenn Campbell, and I played Rocky Mountain High dude this morning, John Denver.
Yeah, I hear Glenn Campbell.
I went extremely white this morning.
Yeah, that's very white.
Yeah.
Very white.
I was all up in it this morning.
Little Southern Nights?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, let's get some Coach's Corner.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner. WTF brought to you by Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery. 40 minutes west of Weird in Spicewood, Texas. IronWolfRanch.com. Bold spirits. Texas attitude.
Hey, coming up, bottom of the hour, LeBron James continues to add fuel to the fire, and he's not coming off looking very well in this whole China situation. Plus, hot or not for the end of the hour, but Coach's Corner, just before 7:15 every morning here on the Show of the People. And can we start with this? Can we get this 8-year-old kid? All right, so how about this? Let's go out to Seattle, Washington. You got to picture this. You got an 8-year-old, you got a group of Pop Warner kids. There's no coach, it's just the kid. And here's his message to his team.
To the game. I'm not saying be what person, be you, but also have passion. Be determined. Be this team. Be a maverick. And when we get on that field, let's show the Cisco Lobos how to be a maverick. Let's show them. Let's show that we can beat them on their home field, on our home field. We can beat them anywhere. We can go to New England, for goodness sake, play in the snow, and still beat them.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Let's show them what we got.
Yeah, man. You down with that?
Be glad when he gets older and gets rid of that voice.
Let's
wow,
show
can you imagine what that sounds like?
What it's like to be a maverick.
I love it. Did you say we could go to New England?
Yeah, let's go. We could beat them in the snow.
Oh, really?
Love the energy.
Great energy.
Good stuff right there. This says, shut up, brat.
Just play the game. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Quit your cheering.
Maybe a little over the top. Maybe watching a little bit too much Drew Brees or something, you know?
I don't know where he got that.
Probably his dad. Dad's probably a coach.
Dad's probably the coach. Or mom's the coach.
Maybe it's his dad yelling at his fantasy football team or something, you know, on Sunday.
Yelling at... Yeah, no.
Either way, that was
awesome.
Good stuff in our coaches'
corner. That is good stuff.
Also good stuff. Texans are 4-2. They've won a couple straight, and they've really looked good. They scored 53 against Atlanta, and they put 31 on the board against the Chiefs, and it could have been worse. They missed a field goal and an extra point and took the knee late. And here's the deal. I wanted you to hear this. If you're a Texans fan, remember when the Jalen Ramsey trade just went down, two number ones and a number four for Jalen Ramsey, the best corner. But when the Texans traded for Laremy Tunsil, a lot of criticism of the deal. They gave up too much to get a 24-year-old left tackle. Well, listen to this. Brian Baldinger. We talk to Brian Baldinger every year at the Super Bowl, right, when we're out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a former offensive lineman, and he does breakdowns, of film breakdowns, and he puts them on his website and Twitter. And here's just a little audio of Brian Baldinger making the claim that right now Laremy Tunsil is the best left tackle in football. And keep in mind, this is over film. So he's watching film and kind of narrating what he's watching. Listen to Brian Baldinger, former NFL player, now doing analysis.
Laremy Tunsil is the best left tackle in football. You're simply not watching. He put on a clinic on Sunday in all phases of the game. I mean, his technique, the only problem with his technique, he makes it look too easy. I mean, he can dance with the best of them. I mean, you count how many seconds he's protected the backside of Deshaun Watson to make this throw down the field. Will Fuller's still ticked off that he didn't catch that ball. But in all phases of the game, you want to run Carlos Hyde inside at the 2-yard line and eliminate Frank Clark? He makes it almost look too easy. Takes Clark into the end zone. Carlos Hyde runs right off him. Just watch. In this left side of Max Sharping, this rookie in Tunsil, it's getting really good. But just watch the hand fighting. It's hand-to-hand combat. Just watch it. Watch his base. He never gets overextended. Let me look at this. And it's every week right now. I mean, he didn't know the playbook. On the opening day of the season, he's out there playing. Frank Clark. All right? I mean, I know Frank hadn't done much yet, but he didn't do anything against him. Deshaun Watson dropped back 42 times. 42 times in this game. I think they put a glove on him once or twice.
All right,
look at this right here.
There's Brian Baldinger. And I retweeted that video he's talking about. So if you're a Texans fan or a fan of good football, you can go watch that. I retweeted it at Aaron Hogan. Good stuff. And that's, you know, if you're a Texans fan, that's music to your ears because you wanted that trade because you mortgage the future to do it. I mean, you don't have a draft pick in the first round for the next 2 years. But I've argued since the trade was made, I thought it was a good trade because I think finding a Pro Bowl left tackle is as hard as finding a Pro Bowl quarterback. I mean, they're really hard to come by, and that's what the Texans' problem had been since they drafted Deshaun Watson. It's hard to, unless you're drafting in the top 5 or 6 in the draft, you're not going to draft a great franchise left tackle. And remember, Tunsil out of Ole Miss was projected to be the number one pick in the draft, and then his draft stock fell when the video with him and the gas mask on came out. But boy, is he
just playing. A little weed.
Yeah, and he is really, and he's a humble guy. The Texans, you know, people around that team can't say enough about him, how he's come in and kept his head down. And he didn't want to do an introductory press conference when he was traded. He just wanted to get in and go to work. And you want to know why the Texans are moving the football and scoring points. Remember in that game, as you heard Brian Baldinger say, they controlled the ball against the Chiefs for 40 minutes of the game. 40 minutes of the game, and everything they do is built around going left, left side behind Tunsil, and as he mentioned, Max Sharping, the second-round rookie. So good stuff there for the Texans. They have a huge game this week against a team that also has a great offensive line and maybe the best offensive lineman in football in the Indianapolis Colts. Quentin Nelson, their big guard, is just an unbelievable, looks like a Hall of Fame player in year two. So Tunsil, we don't talk offensive line enough or a lot on this show, but music to the Texans fans' ears and music to Deshaun Watson's ears, because now he has time to let those long developing plays emerge. And he's also getting the ball out of his hands a lot quicker. And we told you earlier, Pro Football Focus has Laremy Tunsil rated as the number one rated tackle in football weeks three through six. So last 3 weeks since he's gotten the playbook under his belt, he's been really outstanding. And Brian Baldinger put in an exclamation point on that. Also, Cowboys, huge game against the Eagles. Let's hear from Jerry Jones yesterday. Of course, he does at least one hit on The Fan, a weekly radio show up in Dallas. And 105.3, here's what Jerry had to say about his head coach.
We've got a lot invested in Jason Garrett. He's had a lot of years that he's been a part of the Cowboys, and he's evolved into what I think is a top coach. He would be a very sought-after coach if he were out here in the open market. So there's a lot of pluses there. He brings a lot to the table. And I can genuinely say that that is not a thought that I'm having.
Well, then why didn't you give him a contract then?
Well, I think Cowboy fans, and I won't speak for him because I'm not one, when he says that he is... Give me that again, Wags. What did he say so I can get this right? Talking about the things he's accomplished. Give me this one more time.
We've got a lot invested in Jason Garrett. He's had a lot of years that he's been a part of the Cowboys, and he's evolved into what I think is a top coach. He would be a very sought-after coach if he were out here in the open market. So there's a lot of pluses there. He brings a lot to the table. And I can genuinely say that that is not a thought that I'm having.
Dude, right. He didn't say anything that was real, well, like he's this good and we've been to this many playoffs.
Well, his argument for not being on the hot seat is that, and by the way, that's all semantics because Jason Garrett has not gotten a new contract. If he really felt like Jason Garrett
that's what I mean.
Was a top coach, he would have a long-term contract.
What does a top coach mean?
But... he said he brings a lot to the table. I think Cowboy fans would like to hear him list the things. Like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, you have a lot invested in him. You've had him there too long. That's what you've done.
He said he brings a lot to the table. Let's go through. Give us four. So when you hear the word a lot, like that's like more than three, right? That's like four, maybe five when I think of a lot.
I think a lot, yeah, is more than three.
Let's list Jason Garrett's top attributes as a head coach.
It's a good clapper.
Okay, I'm writing that down. Good clapper.
He's
in shape.
He's in pretty good shape for a coach.
He doesn't look like some of these coaches.
No, he doesn't. It looks like he's in good shape.
Like they're truck drivers or something. He's pretty fit for a guy in the 50s.
He does. I can't say he's a motivator. I would have said the players like him.
Really? Did you see the video of them coming off the field this week?
They didn't like him the other day.
He's got his hands out like, give me five, give
and
me five.
Like, and they're like,
get out of here, coach.
I don't know. Okay. He'll be sought after in the open market.
Well, if that's your best argument, that if we fired him, he'd get rehired.
Considering what you see out there,
that is such a lame reason. I mean, that is such a lame reason.
You see Adam Gase there with the Jets. Yeah. Who beat you?
Yeah, Adam Gase is a retread. He didn't do anything in Miami, and he was sought after. But he just, and by the way, Adam Gase just whipped his ass.
Yes, I know. He just got through whipping you.
So if you're a Cowboy fan and you are on the Jason Garrett bandwagon, I think that bandwagon is very, very thin right now.
Somebody said he had solid hair. He's not balding. His hair is pretty solid.
He's got one hell of a clap.
He's got a clap.
He's got a great clap.
You know what he has? He has Lego hair. Like Lego hair. Like he just like push it on and pull it off. It never moves.
Solid hair.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of guys have that. But
he yawns a lot on the sideline. He gets bored quickly. I saw that the other day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he's been there 9 years. 9 years.
He's an Ivy Leaguer.
Going on. Ooh.
Hold on, guys.
Think about that. That dude was in the Ivy League, right?
Princeton man.
He's a Princeton man. Think about that.
His father. He's got good bloodlines.
Yep.
But
shoots good free throws.
So for Cowboy fans weighing on that, brings a lot to the table. What are those things as a head coach? You've had him 9 years. I mean, what does he bring?
Nine years.
This is 9.5. He's working on 10. Working on double digits.
And if you loved him so much and he's a top coach, why don't you give him a new contract?
Well said. Okay, we'll come back. There's your coach's corner. Got fired up by some Kenny Rogers. Fired up by a little kid. Somebody called him a brat on the text line. That's not very nice.
That's not nice, man. Kid's getting his team all fired up. Call him a brat.
Let me ask you this. If that was your kid, and we'll ask the texters this, if that was your kid, would you be excited and proud of that, or you'd be like, ooh?
I would be proud.
Yeah. Come on.
I would be proud.
Wags is looking like I'd go over and snatch him.
No, I would be proud.
And Wags is in the wheelhouse right now. His kid's playing football.
Yeah, if that was my son making a speech to his team, I'd be proud. But you know me, my kids couldn't do airplanes when they were soccer players. They weren't allowed to like slide under the grass because I told them I would come out right on the field and drag them off. So they didn't.
You've been there before.
Yeah. But this kid, I think that's a pretty good speech by a kid.
We'll play it again if you missed it. What do you think the other 8-year-olds were thinking?
They were in shock.
Hey, kid, shut up.
It sounds like my dad talking to me. Oh, I'm scared.
Hey, Bobby, save it, man. We're playing. I'm waiting for the orange slices at halftime.
When do we get the slices?
We're going to have a pizza party after this
game
or not?
Those kids were jacked up, man.
Yeah, they were. They were ready.
Somebody said, I'll slap him. Don't. You wouldn't slap that kid. Why would you slap the kid? I mean, that guy's going to be a – you know what he is? That kid right there is the one who's going to make America great again right there.
This guy?
That kid, yes.
When I saw Cole get angry, I want to see all of you do that. Because if you do that, you're determinated to the game.
Determinated.
I'm not saying be one person, be you, but also have passion. Be determined. Be this team. Be a maverick.
Be a maverick.
When we get on that field, let's show the Cisco Lobos how to be a maverick.
There we go.
That we can beat them on our home field, on our home field. We can beat them anywhere. We can go to New England, for goodness sake, play the snow, and still beat them.
There they are, the rally.
All I needed was that. Yeah! All I needed is one F-bomb, and that would be great.
Yeah, he's 8.
I'm sorry.
For goodness sake, it was about as close as he got. We'll be back. B&E on the horn.
The good.
I think I figured out who the kid in, I believe that was in Frisco, Texas, north of Dallas. I figured out where the 8-year-old, who he sounds like. A couple people, really, for me.
Yeah.
Also, Jared Jones saying Jason Garrett brings a lot to the table. He'd be in high demand on the open market. Cowboy fans, not real sure. Not real sure about that. And Texans fans happy to hear Laramie Tunsil, according to Brian Baldinger, is the best left tackle in football right now.
Well, you know what? He's excellent for that team, as you said, and what they need. But he's made that quarterback so much better. You know, the quarterback's had his ups and downs, getting rid of the ball, not always trying to make big plays. But when you saw him on Sunday, he was just as lively in that pocket, but he was so stable in that pocket, throwing downfields. And I said, if Will Fuller could catch, which please don't start being that Will Fuller again, there have been two more touchdowns. They'd have beat Kansas City by three touchdowns.
Well, I mean, I think anybody that, you know, the left tackle position is important, and then you don't have one. Right, and then or if you see one like Tunsil come in and just solidify a spot, and the Texans do everything around him. I mean, they run behind him with Carlos Hyde, who's having a great year. The protection is so much better.
And what a game this week between that's going to be a huge game.
And the Texans have not been good in Indianapolis, and
right?
That's where they play. They beat them last year, I believe, in Indy. But you know, Deshaun Watson has shown this is where you give Bill O'Brien. You know, took a lot of heat. He takes a lot of heat because he's the general manager and the coach.
Mm-hmm.
He took a lot of heat for the move, but he understands You know, it's funny that
he understands what he has at quarterback.
Well, the hypocrisy of a lot in the media who are saying this guy's going to turn into the next Andrew Luck if you don't protect him. Then he gives up a couple of picks to get this guy, and they say, well, that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, he's doing what they drafted offensive linemen with their first and second draft picks this year, and they traded two picks to get this guy to build a line in front of Deshaun Watson because he's only 24 years old and he's shown, you know, elite traits. He's an elite quarterback, if protected and if healthy, and they got good weapons around him. So the Texans are pretty excited. And as you've said, they're trying to maximize J.J. Watt's remaining great years.
And they have to.
And J.J.'s still playing at a very high level. And, you know, I think I think it bodes well for this year for the Texans and beyond, and they won't have a first-round pick this year or next year. But
they're going to pay Tunsil. They're going to pay him big money. By the way, you guys aren't nice. No, the kid did not get pancaked by somebody in the game. When he got in the games, no.
Okay,
they didn't didn't knock him back to the back of the end zone.
Give me a little of the kid in Frisco firing up his football team earlier this year, getting the Pop Warner guys ready to play.
Then we get on that field, let's show the Frisco Lobos how to be a Maverick. Let's show that we can beat them on their home field, on our
any
home field.
All right, Wags. Now,
we can go to New England.
I was thinking about it in the break, thinking, okay, who does that remind me of? Who does that sound like?
Sounds like Mike Gundy to me.
I'm a man. No, how about this? Remember the classic film? One of the great films ever made, Talladega Nights?
Shut up, Chip, or I'll go eight on your ass. I'm going to scissor kick you in the back of the head. I'm 10 years old, but I'll beat your ass. Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. Greatest Generation, my ass. Tom Brokaw is a punk. Chip, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
It does sound like that kid, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, there we go.
No, you would not put that kid in a corner. No, that kid is going to be special. That's a kid who's special. He's not. That's the next Tim Tebow. That's Tebow.
That's the other one.
What?
He's a young Tim Tebow in the making.
He's Tebow. There's nothing wrong with that.
Tebow speech.
What's wrong with that? That's
maybe
a good speech.
He's been watching Tim Tebow on. Do we have some Tebow wags?
Oh, no.
We got to get the. Because I think it might have been Tim Tebow, too. Or he's a precursor to Timothy Tebow, which Wags will call up, because he's passionate like that, too. And he was one of the great leaders in the history of college football, won a couple national championships.
It's so funny when someone said he got pancaked in the game. All that talk. Did they win the game? We need to find that out.
I don't know. Let's hope Frisco, or they beat the Mavericks, or the Mavericks beat Frisco, or whatever that was. All right, there you go. There's a little spider
stuff.
Monkey. We'll find some Tim Tebow as well to see if we can compare those two. Okay, so here is the latest from LeBron James. Now, this is Rich, right? We had the debate about LeBron James yesterday. Comes back from China. He's disappointed or was scared while he was there. All his money's
China.
Falling. He's losing his money for his corporation. Mm-hmm. The LeBron James Inc.
Yep.
And made everybody mad in China. Daryl Morey was speaking out for freedom and democracy, but he was upset that he did it while they were in China. Well, then after taking all the heat yesterday, because he took heat coast to coast. I mean, I do think calling him a communist is a little strong.
With the exception of Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, well, Stephen A. Smith will back up LeBron on most things.
Yes.
But look, you can criticize. There are a lot of people criticizing Daryl Morey still, which is fine. All right? I mean, this is a debate. This is what this is about. I am in support of Daryl Morey for speaking up for freedom. And so when LeBron James said upon coming back that Daryl Morey was only thinking about himself, it was a selfish decision. Well, actually, it was not. He was speaking up for the people of Hong Kong and speaking up for democracy and freedom, which I wish we would all do. But the real rich part for me for LeBron James is yesterday he said, "We're not politicians. I want to go back to playing." Oh, really? Now you're not a politician. Okay. Look, I am not one of these shut up and dribble people. I like when guys will be outspoken. You know what this is? Today is the anniversary, Buck, 1968, of Tommy Smith and the guys at the Mexico City Olympics.
Yes.
That was this day, October the 16th. I am for people speaking up and having free speech and standing for things.
Yeah, and those guys have paid a price since they did that.
No doubt.
In their lives.
And that's what LeBron was saying yesterday. Freedom of speech comes with ramifications. You can say what you want, but you got to pay the outcome. But to come back, this made this a lot worse for me. We're not politicians. Well, was he not a politician when he spoke out against the president? Which is fine. You can absolutely do that. But was he said the NFL owners have a slave mentality, he's been quoted as saying recently, LeBron James. Of course, he said he's never really shut up and dribble. Well, you can't have that both ways then.
He just had the governor of California on his show.
I know. Signing the bill into legislation. You can't say we're not politicians and then be outspoken on things. You can't have that both ways because you want to, diffuse this situation, that's pretty rich on LeBron James.
I just think I don't say it's tough. People want you to speak. They want you to be the speaker, but he's not the speaker for everybody, and he's got to be careful of that. And it's not like he doesn't make mistakes, you know. And LeBron James hasn't made, to me, he hadn't made a lot of them when it comes to his stardom. I mean, things have been kind of rosy for him. But when you make a mistake, there's no reason to compound your mistake. You know, you just you go on. I mean, you move on. And when the season starts, this will be just like the kneeling. We'll go right on, and the basketball season is going to be special.
I like athletes that have opinions,
sure.
Strong opinions. But here's the problem for me with LeBron, and you know me. We're from both from the mean streets of Akron, Ohio.
You're both from mean streets. That's right. Let's not forget that.
We're Ohioans and Akronites.
Yes.
And I have supported LeBron James. But in this case, you can't have that both ways. You can't be outspoken on things that you know you're going to be applauded for, right? And by most people, right? He's been outspoken on things that when the public opinion may be on his side, especially with his surrounding. But in this case, he's taken a lot of heat for it because what he said about Daryl Morey, what the folks in Hong Kong who are fighting for their freedom are burning his jersey, and this thing's going poorly for LeBron James in the court of public opinion globally.
Right. And time has globally. And freedom has no time. There's no you can't say he could have waited. Why do you have to wait for freedom? Why do you have to wait to a certain time to speak up about injustice?
Because his
you
businesses shouldn't. Are involved.
But
heavily.
You shouldn't. But if you really believe in what you did, right. And Daryl Morey, just think about him. He's dealt with Yao Ming. He's dealt with China a lot. So for him to actually say that at that time, when you say he's uneducated, that guy's been to China numerous times. He's not. It's not like he's never dealt with anybody in China.
Look,
but for me, it's you don't. When you say a guy's uneducated about something, and when you say that he's hurting other people, well, Daryl Morey can hurt himself. He could have hurt himself too. And when you first use the first word that comes out of your mouth is financially, and then you go to socially and religious.
Yeah, this was a money problem for him.
We know it's a money problem.
Here's the text, and we get these. It says, "For the love of God, LeBron spoke because his life was in danger while in China." When the tweet went out, well, we addressed this yesterday. If LeBron really felt like his life was in danger, he could have gotten on his private jet and flown home. Okay,
at any moment,
and the Chinese government is going to say, "We'll help you guys to the airport." You're not in. He's not in danger. This guy's got a.
This is not an episode of Broken Palace.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I think I can guess what it's about. And look, it is a communist dictatorship, and they can say what goes. But LeBron should have flown home, and should have left if he felt like he was in danger. But if he had, that would have hurt his money interests because LeBron James Incorporated has got a lot of business dealings in China.
That stuff happened in the middle of the week. Those guys stayed all the way to Saturday.
Right.
They played in a game.
Meanwhile, the Chinese government took the games off of television. No one in China could watch them. No one could go to the games. But they played them anyhow.
He didn't leave because he had to be – because he knew
it would have been bad for business.
Yes.
Okay, so do we find some Tim Tebow? All right, so we got this kid in Frisco.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the spider monkey. Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. And then I think this kid's going to grow into this right here, the great Florida quarterback Tim Tebow.
What it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it. And if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about. But now we're changing it from us, from we, from my university, from being an alumni where I care, which makes college football and college sports special, to then, okay, it's not about us, it's not about we, it's just about me. And yes, I know we live in a selfish culture where it's all about us, but we're just adding and piling it onto that, where it changes what's special about college football. We turn it into the NFL, where who has the most money, that's where you go. That's why people are more passionate about college sports than they are about NFL. That's why the stadiums are bigger in college than they are in the NFL, because it's about your team. It's about your university. It's about where my family wanted to go. It's about where my grandfather had a dream of seeing Florida win an SEC championship. And you're taking that away so that young kids can earn a dollar. And that's just not where I feel like college football needs to go.
That's fair,
there's
man.
That opportunity. In the
there you go. There's wow. Passion. That's what you
and
need.
And then he went on from that to become Mike Gundy. That's all. I'm a man.
All right. So I think it's more like the kid from Talladega.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Would you like that cut? Chip.
No, you guys aren't going to elbow the kid in the head. You're not going to do that to the kid. He's a kid. He's enjoying his life. He's enjoying being around. I know the other kids were horrified,
who's the
though.
Kid here?
Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
You think those
greatest
other...
generation my ass.
You think those other kids were horrified?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, all we want is the slices at halftime.
We'll be back. When we do, Wags will lead us through Hot or Not. We'll reset the top stories, including half of the World Series is set. One side of it, the senior circuit is in. We'll get you details. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
Altstadt Beer, the premium German beer brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country, Fredericksburg, Texas. Ask for Altstadt wherever you buy beer. No impurities, no regrets. It's Altstadt Beer.
Hot and not on a Wednesday. Temperatures dropping. right now is about the high temperature for the rest of the day. High of 67. Cloudy skies. You heard Scott Bennett with all the wrecks out there. Be careful. Slow down. Streets are wet. We've been warning you since 6 a.m. Leave a little space in between. Hot and not. Wags will lead us through it on this Wednesday, the 16th of October, which happens to be, as we said, the anniversary, 1968 Mexico City Olympics. Tommy Smith and the fist.
John Carlos.
Also, you know, it was announced yesterday the University of Texas football team who will play on Saturday against Kansas will be wearing throwback uniforms.
Yeah, 69, right?
To the 69 championship team, wearing those 1969 unis, which will be a sharp look. They were unveiled to the players and staff during a team meeting yesterday. And obviously, it's an honor to wear those. And
maybe that kid should give the speech.
Oh.
Pre-game?
Little Bobby Boucher?
Maybe he should have done it last week.
Couldn't have hurt. I will say this. Texas is 4-2, and their two losses are two of the three most watched college football games this season. You realize that the most watched college football game this year is?
LSU?
No, Notre Dame-Georgia. Notre Dame-Georgia got nearly a 10 share. But Texas-LSU and Texas-Oklahoma, the second and third most watched games so far.
LSU-Florida, no, huh?
Nope. LSU-Florida is sixth this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and Notre Dame, Georgia. So, yeah, people still turn on to watch Texas, and they've lost both those games by a touchdown and didn't stop anybody. How many tackles did they miss in both of those games combined?
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez, we're in the 50s at that point. Can you teach tackling midseason? Let's hope.
I think the tough part about all of that is the fact that you've got guys that are injured. And I know you have to practice hard because you have to play hard because the speed of the game is so much different than you do at practice. But I think one thing that I think we all notice is they duck their heads a lot. The guys that are missing the tackles and bouncing off are leaving their feet and they're like projectiles.
Yeah, missiles and trying to do the kill shots, and it's leading to some of their injuries. I mean, Jalen.
It is.
I won't say that for Jalen Green. Jalen Green, remember that was the game against Oklahoma State.
That was just a collision straight up.
Yeah, there was a crossing route and he was there and
it hit
his shoulder.
But when you start sticking your head down and your arms out, you're asking for a shoulder injury.
Correct. And you know, Anthony Cook this past weekend came. I mean, he shot through the gap on a little screenplay and you know, made a good play, but led with his shoulder and
yes.
Ended up getting a stinger. We'll see where he is this week. We'll hear from Tom Herman later in the week. Coordinators tonight. Another texter. Actually, this is a Twitter guy. I'm talking about the kid in Frisco getting the kids fired up. He says it's this guy.
Having the time of his life.
And one of our Twitter followers, Chendo, says, "Hey, you guys got me. Here I am at work singing The Gambler."
Of course.
Singing The Gambler, earworm song of the morning. Wags, what do you have, my friend?
Thank you, gentlemen. October 16th, like you mentioned. A lot of days today, or lots of little categories here. National Fossil Day. How about that?
I never went looking for...
your favorite dinosaur? Nah,
never went for dinosaurs.
Velociraptor!
Never went for Native American back in the day. Indian, like... Arrowheads. Yeah, I never went doing that. I never had any interest in that stuff.
National Take Your Parents to Lunch Day.
Who?
I would if they weren't dead.
Yeah.
I would if they weren't in Houston.
I would if they were still around. Yeah.
Same here. If mine were still around. Yeah. National Department Store Day. What's your favorite department store? Belk's.
Ooh, that's a good one.
This is such
Wags.
A wheelhouse for you, my friend.
This
Mr.
is
Mr. Mallgoer.
Yeah, I know. He's always there.
You know, I love the.
Don't say Nordstrom's.
Perry Ellis store. I like the Perry Ellis. I love Perry Ellis stores.
Neiman Markups?
Yeah. I go to Neiman's. I go to the basement and stuff like that.
Well,
I like fine clothes.
Well, you are what you do, right? You are what your bank account shows. And so my favorite store by things purchased would have to be...
Don't you say Walmart.
Kohl's.
Kohl's?
I'm all right with Kohl's, but I got in a fight with a lady there once. So I don't go back ever since.
What were you fighting over?
Black Friday.
Blender or something?
Pair of gloves.
Isotope.
I swear I got
like
there
OJ
first.
Like OJ gloves?
I swear I got there first. And then I went Talladega Nights on her. Yeah.
Yeah, this
Spider
texture,
Monkey.
This texture is like me. What is a department store? Yeah, it's called Amazon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's
National
But I do
Boston
like Kohl's.
Today.
I think Kohl's got good deals. So
by the way, it's almost time for me to get my Christmas shopping done.
It's mid-October.
Yeah, it is, brother.
National Bosses Day as well. National Liqueur Day. Not Liquor Day. Liqueur, like the sweeter stuff that you put in,
never liked
in
it.
A drink.
Waste
National
a,
Bra Day. Bruise. Guys,
what's your
bra? National Bra.
Bra
Day.
Bra. Bra?
Yeah.
Boo.
Hey. I'm
I don't know. I mean,
I'm truly a fan of the push-up.
Oh, yeah.
the ones that make the itty bitty ones look like they're like
everybody needs support.
A little elevation.
I love elevation.
Yeah, absolutely. And last but not least, National Sports Day. Favorite sport?
Baseball.
Football.
Right on. Probably gonna be hockey for me.
Probably gonna be hockey for the Wags. Obviously, football is really high on my list, but growing up with baseball and getting to watch the Astros and
the
Yankees.
Blue light special at Kmart.
All right.
That's
so
the department store.
There you go, Wags. Good job on Hot or Not. It's also, in addition to the 16th anniversary of the 69 National Championship at Texas, it's also the anniversary today, Buck, of the Miracle Mets. The Miracle Mets of 1969.
Talking about a bunch of misfits.
Had been a miserable team for a long time and then up and won the World Series in 1969. You know who was on that team because he played for 30 years? Nolan Ryan.
Holy moly.
Nolan Ryan. Tom Seaver. Yeah, that's how long Nolan pitched.
Good grief.
You know what's cool? If you got to the Dell Diamond and go into the club there behind home plate, the inside club, they've got a big old... what do you call it? Every player that he ever struck out, Nolan Ryan. Yeah. And then how many times?
I was going to say how many times.
It's so good.
It's
you just
awful.
Go through that. Oh, there's William. I mean, it's just name after name after name. Nolan Ryan, unbelievable. Hey, we'll come back when we do. We'll reset the headlines, talk some more Texas football, start to get you over the hump, and start previewing the big games of the upcoming weekend, including monster games for the Cowboys and Texans, and the best games of the week in college football. And oh, yeah, Yankees Astros, Advantage, Houston, beginning on the horn.